We are going to go ahead and start to get into the message.
Go ahead, Don. Is it there? Adam and Eve.
There it is.
They left the Garden of Eden because of their sin. They found a new place to live, a place where they could plant food and keep animals. Adam and Eve had two sons. Their first son was called Cain. Cain became a farmer and grew food to eat. The second son was called Abel. Abel became a shepherd and looked after the animals. Cain and Abel brought gifts. Can you switch it on? There you go. How about one more? Cain and Abel brought gifts to God. It was a way to say thank you. But Cain's heart was different than Abel's. God was pleased with Abel, but not with Cain. Cain became very angry and jealous. He killed his brother. He thought nobody would know, but God knew what Cain had done. Cain had to leave, but God promised to protect him. Adam and Eve had another son called Seth. Today we're going to begin, basically it'll be like the summer series. It's roughly 11 messages, which will get us through the summer. And it's called Children's Stories. So if you've grown up in church and you went to Sunday school or maybe children's church, then maybe as a child you heard some of these stories and you learned some of them. And we'll look at them a little bit differently. But basically, all of these stories are actually found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, which is called the chapter of faith, is what we're going to be digging through. So I'm going to ask you, if you would, our scripture today is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to ask that you would stand as we begin digging our way through the Hebrews 11, looking at verses 1 through 4. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for, and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith he was commended as a righteous man, when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith he still speaks, even though he is dead. Thank you. You may be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of this holy word. You know, it's at least a little bit odd. We all seem to know the story of Cain and Abel. But did you know that Cain actually gets more time in Scripture than Abel does? Cain is listed 18 different verses, but Abel only gets 11. But the press that Cain gets, it is all bad press.
Yeah.
See, he's a bad man. He's an angry man, and he's a murderer. And God actually tells us in 1 John chapter 3, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Cain's actions, they were evil. And here in 1 John, we are told that Cain's evil actions actually led him to murder his brother. In other words, Cain's evil actions, they didn't start with the murdering of his brother. His evil actions, they came before the murder of Abel. Now, some people believe that Cain knew that he had to offer an animal sacrifice. And because Cain refused to obey God in giving this animal sacrifice, that's what made his actions evil. And if you had your Thursday night group going, this would be a great little tangent to go down on this stuff, Pastor Frank. Because the only problem with that thought, that train of thought that he didn't give an animal sacrifice, is that nowhere in Scripture, nowhere in any other story, does it say that. If you go to Genesis chapter 4, where we get the narrative of Cain and Abel, in verses 2 through 5, now Abel was a keeper of sheep. Basically, he's a shepherd. And Cain, a worker of the ground, he raised crops, so he's a farmer. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. In any of that, did you read or hear anything about God asking for an animal sacrifice? It's not there. In fact, Abel, he is a keeper of sheep, so he's a shepherd, and so he brings a sheep. While Cain is a worker of the ground, he's a farmer, and so he brings crops. Each one of them is bringing what it is that they have raised, and so they bring that to give it to God. And so if each one of them is bringing what it is that they have raised as a sacrifice for God, then why would God accept Abel's gift but not Cain's? We don't really know, but if the problem isn't with the gift, then somehow it has to be with the giver. Down through Israel's history, God repeatedly rejected sacrifices from the Israelites because there was something wrong with the giver and not with the gift. If you go and you look in Isaiah chapter 1, God says, I have had enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fattened cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of goats. Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. See, the problem for Israel, it wasn't with the gifts. The problem was with the giver. And God is telling them, clean yourselves up, make yourselves right, and then you can bring your offering. And Jesus, he says essentially the same thing. If you go to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus says, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. See, the problem, it wasn't with the gift. The problem, it was with the giver. And the Bible doesn't really say what was wrong with Cain. And you can go down into a long tangent with this and then really expand upon it. But we have at least a little bit of a hint. Because the Lord says to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. You see, Cain's sacrifice, it was rejected partly because of his heart condition. He wasn't right before God. Cain's heart, he wasn't right before God. And so we are told in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5, God had no regard for Cain and his offering. But Abel's heart, it was righteous before God. And Genesis 4:4 tells us, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. So what was it that made Abel's heart right before God? Well, Hebrews 11:2 tells us it was his faith. His faith in God. For by faith the people of old received their commendation. Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts. Hebrews 11, as I've already said, it is the hall of faith. And the whole chapter talks about different characters, different people in the Bible, and they're commended for their faith. God commends them. The first man that we have in the chapter is Abel. So let's think for just a moment here. If Abel's sacrifice, if it had been rejected by God, what do you think Abel would have done. Well, I think that he would have tried harder the next time. He would have worked at improving or trying to come up with a more acceptable sacrifice. In fact, that is exactly what God was trying to get Cain to do. God actually tells Cain, if you do well, will you not be accepted? Basically, God is saying, try again. You can do this. By contrast, Abel's objective, it was to be pleasing to God. And that's what his faith was all about. Pleasing God. You see, faith, it was the real difference between Cain and Abel. Cain's sacrifice, it was all about him, not about his faith in God. Cain's sacrifice, it wasn't a sacrifice of faith, because God wasn't the object. God wasn't the center of that. Cain was. And so when Cain's offering was rejected, Cain actually gets angry. How dare you, God, reject my sacrifice? But I'm not so sure that Abel would have responded like that if his offering had failed. Abel, see, he was a man who was driven by his faith in God, by this desire to please God, no matter what the cost. And that's exactly what we should be like. That's what we should be striving to do. Our faith should drive us to try to please God, to put God first, and to follow after him the best that we can, no matter the cost. Someone once said, real worship is thirsty land crying out for rain. Real worship, it is focused on God. It is God-centered. So when we show up here on Sunday mornings to worship, we shouldn't be worried about whether Jason's playing the drums, which makes it awful hard at times to worship, or whether your shoes are on right or your clothes fit right, which I always, you'll see me sit back there fidgeting and do so. We get so distracted by so many other things, but when we show up, we should be worshiping God, and he should be what we are focused on. See, there's another thing about Abel. Abel didn't do all that much when you think about it. Noah, he builds this ark and he saves God's creation from the flood. Moses, he went down into Egypt and he led God's people out of captivity. You have Joshua. Joshua led the people of Israel. He led them into the promised land. He conquered the great city of Jericho. We have David. King David, he faced Goliath. He built a mighty kingdom for God. These are great men of faith doing mighty deeds of faith. But what about Abel? He just makes an offering. Not as big deal. No nations are built. No giants are felled. No city walls are destroyed. He makes an offering. And yet he gets top billing. He's listed first in this entire chapter. He's the headliner. When Hebrews 11 tells us of these great men and women of faith, God mentions Abel first. But why? Well, I think it's because God and the world, they have two different ways of judging greatness. The world judges greatness by deeds. The world believes that how great a person is depends on their accomplishments, how successful they are. If you don't do much, then you're not really worth that much. But God doesn't judge greatness that way. God judges our greatness by the size of our faith. Not by the size of our accomplishments or what we've been able to do. And that's why Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who seek him. Notice in this verse, it tells us two things. First, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And second, faith means that you not only believe that God exists, but you believe that he rewards those who seek him. Now, Jesus, he said something similar to that, something close to that. In Matthew chapter 6, at verse 33, Jesus says, seek God's kingdom first, and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You see, that's faith. Faith is when you seek God because you know that He appreciates that. You don't have to do something great. You don't have to do these mighty deeds or accomplish these great things. You just have to seek to please God. Seek to put Him first and to follow after Him. Now, granted, if you seek God, you're going to do all that you can. You're going to do your very best to try to do great things for a great God. But most of the time, we don't really do great things. You know, we try it. Every once in a while, maybe we take a swing at the ball and we miss. I feel the same way at times, even up here, you know, delivering a message and I'll talk with Lisa, I'll go and say, that wasn't just that wasn't that great. And you just never really know. Any of you ever go and watch Little League Baseball? Well, some of our not so young adults, when they were growing up, Lisa and I, we would go and we would watch them play some of their Little League stuff. Especially when they're down in T-ball, they're just starting, and they're really clumsy, and they don't hold the bat really well, and their swing isn't all that great. Kind of describes me nowadays, doesn't it? but they're just kind of beginning to learn how to play and to do things. And then there's this one kid, and he kind of walks up there, and he's walking up there like he knows what he's doing. He seems to hold the bat, and the ball comes at him, and he still swings and he misses. But that's okay. Do you know who goes and watches Little League games? Parents. Parents or relatives are usually who you'll see in the stands, and they're there, and they're going to cheer for the kids no matter what. Their son or their daughter gets up there, and they take this swing, and they miss, and the parents go, that's okay, you got the next one. You will get it, just keep trying. See, all that they really care about is that they're trying. They're trying their very best and doing it with all might. And that is what God cares about with us.
Good.
Is that we are trying. You're trying your very best to do the best you can. Sure, you may swing and you may miss. Maybe you don't hit the home run, you just hit the ball a little bit. That's all that God cares about. That's what God is looking for. He is looking for someone who will swing for the fences. And even if they miss, they'll keep going because they say they want to give it their all. But you see, it's not the number of your deeds or the greatness of your accomplishment that God looks at. Instead, it's the why you did what it is that you did. Did you do what you did because you loved Him? See, that's what God's looking for. And that's, I believe, why Abel gets top billing. Because he did what he did. He offered his sacrifice because he loved God. Think about it this way. Jesus, he takes his disciples and they go into the temple. And they're there and they're watching people as they come along, and the people are putting their offering into the offering box. And in Mark chapter 12, it tells us many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him, and he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on. See, it wasn't the size of this poor widow's gift that impressed Jesus. It was just her offering. It was the size of her faith and her love for God. And that's what God is trying to get us to see when he puts Abel first in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. It was the size of Abel's faith, not his accomplishments, that God wanted us to focus on. You see, we focus a little bit on Cain and Abel, but what about the sacrifice? Genesis 4:4 tells us, the Lord had regard for Abel and his sacrifice. And Hebrews 11:4, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice. A little bit more literal translation of that would be a much more sacrifice. See, there is something about Abel's sacrifice that God wants us to see, what God wants us to take notice of. Hebrews 11:4 says, through Abel's faith, though he died, he still speaks. And so Abel, he is still speaking. And so what is that Abel said in his sacrifice that God wants us to hear, that God wants us to know? Well, what God wants to hear was that Jesus was Abel's sacrifice. Now, I don't mean that somehow Jesus had to die twice. He died back then, and then he died again on the cross. What I am saying is this. Abel's sacrifice pointed forward to who Jesus was and to what Jesus did. And every single narrative, every single thing in the Bible somehow should either point forward to Jesus or point back to who Jesus was and what Jesus did. The entire Bible should point to Jesus. He is the central point of the Bible. Jesus is the subject.
Amen.
That's actually what the Church of God, our whole theme is and stuff like that. Jesus is the subject. And when you look at this sacrifice, what is it that Abel sacrificed? He sacrificed the lamb. And when John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus coming in John chapter 1, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Mm-hmm. Abel sacrificed the lamb. And so that meant that he had to kill the lamb. The lamb had to die in order for the sacrifice, the offering to be given to God. And Jesus Christ, he came to die. He came to be the sacrifice for our sin. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that Jesus bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. And Abel, he sacrificed the firstborn of his flock. Colossians 1:18 tells us that Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. Jesus was the first to rise from the grave to live forever. And so why is that important? Because since Jesus rose from the dead to live forever, we can too. And that's what baptism tries to teach us. When we observe baptism, it reminds us that we go into the grave and yet we come up and we can live. So the question is, as we wrap this up, are you doing the very best you can to follow after God? Are you putting Him first in everything that you do? Giving the best that you have to Him? Are you leaving it there and following after God the very best that you can?